You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program, Saturday evening, March the 28th, and we're broadcasting live from our flagship station here in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network, simulcasting online to a worldwide audience, and of course you can catch us on the Listen Live line via telephone or the Roku player. Many ways to listen to the Political Cesspool, no matter how you're tuned in. We're happy to have you, and very happy to have our next guest. You know, I sent him an email a few days ago. We needed to have him back on. I said, let's do 7 o'clock. And then I said, 7:15. Okay, 7:15. And then we ended up calling him at 7. But I figured, you know, if you're going to have Ramsey Paul on, why not have him on the full hour? You know, I thought better of it a second time. And so I was listening to this interview that we did with him, and I made mention of it earlier in the first hour. I'll give a little homework assignment to those who may have missed it the first time, because I'm embarrassed at how much time has passed since his debut appearance on our show. But the date was January the 28th of 2012, and it's still ready and available in our broadcast archives. I went back and listened to that again today for the first time since we did the show, and it was just exceptionally good. And so it's got a lot to live up to. Tonight's interview does, but I think we're going to do a good job. And with that being said, it is certainly my pleasure to welcome back the one and only Ramsey Paul to the program. He is a YouTube sensation, to say the least, and I don't really think he needs an introduction to our audience, because when I get lazy, I lift his videos, and we post them at least twice a month. So I think to our website. So I think most of our audience will know who Ramsey Paul is. If not, check him out on YouTube, and you will be hooked. Ram, welcome back.
Hey, James, how you doing? It's been 3 years. I can't believe that. I was like a young guy back then. So
yeah, you and me both. That was one kid ago for me, and you know how that is. what little hair, you know, I didn't have hair then. It had already, you know, been burned off from my activism. But yeah, it's 3 years. And I said in that interview, we got to have you back on regularly. And I, like I said, it's totally my fault, and I'm embarrassed. But we're happy to be making amends tonight, and looking forward to doing so much more frequently in the future. But for the benefit of those who may not know, and it's hard to believe that someone wouldn't, tell us again how you got started on YouTube and how you built such a substantial following. I mean, we're talking about millions and millions and millions of viewers, folks.
Yeah, pure accident. I mean, that's all it was. I'd like to say it was a hard work and dedication and a well-thought-out plan. The kids that are listening now, it was just pure accident. I was doing a video, and just before they had Skype, and my brother, who, by the way, is more successful than I am on YouTube, but he's not political, just woodworking, and I just wanted to communicate with him, and I left it as public. People saw it. And one thing led to another, and I felt like I got 100 views. I'm like, wow, 100 people watching me. That's just amazed me. So, and then it just eventually grew. So it wasn't anything that was planned. So it is kind of funny. It's just me kind of doing my own thoughts, and people are watching. So it's.
Well, I think your ascension mirrors our own in some ways, in that it just started, and then through time and effort, it grew, and, you know, 1,000 steps, you cover a lot of ground. But I will tell you this, though, I do disagree with you on one thing. What you do is very hard to do. To build an audience, to break through in the way that you have, and to have such staying power takes an incredible amount of discipline. To crank out 3 videos a week, every week, for what now, 7 years you've been doing it? You continue to crank out that content. I mean, that, my friend, is dedication and perseverance.
And maybe foolishness, but yeah.
Well, that's what it takes. Well, I mean, listen, we all have to be a little crazy to do what we do, you know, to swim against this sort of a tide. And let's be honest. Yeah. But, I mean, to do what you do with that longevity, that's how it happens. And it takes a very rare person that can stick with it to that level as you have.
That's what I have. I have stamina. That's one thing. Yeah.
Well, we got a lot of fans of yours in the chat room tonight. We're going to be taking their questions a little bit, believe it or not. I know you do believe it. And it is true. But I do want to remind folks that our friends at the Council of Conservative Citizens, who host the Political Cesspool online fan party each and every Saturday night, coinciding with our live broadcast, it is up and running tonight. So come on over, and we're going to be opening up the floor for questions for Ramsey Paul a little bit later on this hour. He is our guest for the full hour, so we've got we can take our time with this a little bit. But getting back to your videos, the production value. We talked about this in that interview I referenced before, the first time you were on the show. But I'd just like to shine a quick spotlight on that again. The production value that you put into these, again, is something that's a cut above your standard fare on YouTube, I guess you could say. And people will see that, obviously, when they watch these things. It's very well produced. But I want to ask you this. What is the process that you employ when selecting a topic or a theme?
Well, I just tend to look at various websites like the Drudge Report and so on during the day. And I try to see what people are talking about, what's interesting. And I really don't. I'm not joking. I usually don't have much time to do these videos. So during the day, I think about a topic. And then what's kind of the hard part is just coming up with how I'm going to put an interesting spin on it, because I just don't want to, you know, just do a Rush Limbaugh thing and, you know, list out the news and, oh, it was terrible. But trying to do it in some unique way, like, will I call someone or will I try to take a unique spin on it? So that's really the tough part. And once I got that figured out, and that's all in my head, then it's just a matter of putting it on the camera. And yeah, thank you for saying the production value. That's not, I consider it my weakness, really, because I'm not a film guy or anything like that. I just have a primitive video editor, and I got some nice lights, so that helps. But that it's just kind of thrown together at the last minute. But I have fun with it.
Well, no, I think it's I think you're being a little bit modest there. And I mean, of course, you know, we're not talking about a multi-million dollar Hollywood studio here. But for the kind of from one to another that operates on a shoestring, thankfully, I am a technophobe, as I've told you before. And, if I didn't have producers and engineers and all the people to make this radio show go, I'd be doing it on a couple of tin cans with a string in the middle. But so I think they're quite well, and I think the people will agree. But the thing that you do that I think is so unique in these videos, and we're going to continue to explore this throughout the hour, but you have an ability to make people laugh and take light, and then I mean this in a good way, and this is a good thing, their predicament. And so you're targeting cultural Marxism, and you're talking about a lot of the issues that motivate our work here on the radio. And obviously these are issues and battles in which we are retreating on all fronts as a culture and as a people, at least right now. But you're able to infuse sarcasm and humor and satire to absolutely eviscerate the false gods of cultural Marxism. This is your means of delivery. Was this always your vision when you started this, to do it that way rather than, as you mentioned, a just the facts, ma'am, type of approach like a Rush Limbaugh or someone like that?
I guess. I didn't really think about it. This has always been my personality since I've been like in third grade. I'm always the kid at the back of the school class, or the back of the bus just goofing around. And as I grew up, I was always around funny guys that were just always joking around. So it's kind of my personality is just to have fun with things. But it's also very effective, and it really scares our enemies because they want us to be the angry white man, just all upset about everything. They like that. But they don't like it when we use humor and we laugh at them. And they hate to be mocked. They hate to be ridiculed. That gets them more mad than anything else. So, and I learned that from the left, Norman Lear, remember him in the 70s?
Yeah, hold on right there, and we're going to pick up with this because this is an important element about what you do, but we got to take our first break of the hour. We're going to continue with Ramsey Paul right after this. Can't wait.
Class, who wants to pay less taxes and enjoy the same tax deductions that the rich take? At the Get Prepared Expo, I'll show you how. This is something I learned 40 years ago, and I'm delighted to teach you. What if you lose your job or your company shuts down? The plan is for you to be financially independent by starting your own business. Any business, whatever you like to do. I haven't had a job since the 1980s. Saturday and Sunday, March 28th and 29th, 150 seminars and exhibits, $8 online, $10 at the door. Cowan Civic Center, Lebanon, Missouri. GetPreparedExpo.com. 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. That's how long it takes to die. At the Get Prepared Expo, we'll have pallets of Berkey and ProPure water filtration systems at the lowest prices in the country. Berkey and ProPure water filtration systems, and we'll have the lowest prices in the country on top-of-the-line Mountain House freeze-dried food with a 35-year shelf life. 150 seminars and exhibits, $8 online, $10 a day at the door. Saturday and Sunday, March 28th and 29th at the Get Prepared Expo, Cowan Civic Center, Lebanon, Missouri. GetPreparedExpo.com.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child, or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall-Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu-fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Really excited to have back with us Ramsey Paul, the YouTube sensation. Check him out. Bookmark his website, ramzeepaul.com. That's R-A-M-Z-P-A-U-L, ramzeepaul.com. And make his videos a part of your weekly tradition because, you know, he walks down a treacherous path to even disagree with what has become the new state religion in the United States of America. Cultural Marxism, you know, can set you up for a great deal of distress. But to mock them, you know, this is the new religion and we are the heretics, and they'd burn us if they could. To mock them, they do not like being laughed at, but they deserve to be laughed at because their ideas are so transparently false. The amount of hypocrisy and the double standards that are employed by these people is just, well, laughable, and nobody makes it as funny as our guest tonight. And again, you said this is part of your personality, this is who you are, and I appreciate that, you know, not playing a character, but just putting it out there, and it certainly worked. And but you said this, you know, infusion of humor and sarcasm and satire was always part of the recipe for your success.
Yeah, and we're talking about the evolution of it. I noticed that the left did that. That's when they were real effective. It wasn't so much like Trotsky and his boring speeches. Who the heck wants to hear that, right? But it was like Norman Lear. You remember he put out those shows like All in the Family and Archie Bunker and MASH and all those shows where they always had, you know, the villains being the conservatives, or they mocked them. They made fun of them. And that's what is so effective, is when you can laugh at them. And it's easy to laugh at culture Marxists because they're just so laughable. They're so funny what they do, and they take themselves so serious, and they have no sense of humor, and they just hate to be laughed at. So, you know, and my personality, someone's like that, I just have to laugh at them. So that's kind of what I do.
Well, a lot of people are laughing with you. And if you can laugh at them and you can make their arguments look as ridiculous as they truly are, well, that really takes away a lot of their power. And the whole thing, this whole thing is a house of cards anyway, ready to crumble at any moment just because it's built on such shaky ground. I mean, it's built on lies. And so this is just a very powerful tool. So you've got these hundreds and hundreds of videos over the course of the last 7 years now. You got started in 2008. All of them get thousands of views, some of them as many as a half a million, if I'm not mistaken. You got any favorites or perhaps a favorite topic in general that really just gets you eager to go on camera?
A lot of times I get asked what my favorite video was, and I think I liked a video I did years ago where it was how cultural diversity is important to your school. And I played the role of like a liberal parent saying that cultural diversity is oh so important. But when he took his daughter into the school and then this became more diverse, it just got worse and worse and worse. And he, eventually had to pull the kid out. And I played it like I was, the serious liberal father over a period of years. Some people are like, they really thought it was serious. I enjoyed that because it kind of showed just how these things happen where, leftists, they always say they want diversity, but as soon as they get it, then it becomes unlivable for them. It happens not just on a small level at schools, but even like on a state level, right? Like California, it's like, yeah, we want diversity. Then they're like, they get the hell out of California as quickly as they can because they don't want to live with it. So
that's right.
Yeah, that's something that's always easy to make fun of how they deal with diversity and the hypocrisy.
Well, see, I think ultimately even these people agree with us. I mean, they certainly live the way we would want to live, and we talk about that all the time. That's not a new observation or anything like that. But, folks, again, everybody can do something. Not everybody can, I guess, host a radio show or have the success that our guest has had in terms of, becoming a YouTube star. But everybody can do something, even if it's supporting the work of others. And, just look how many people this man has reached with a very right and true message. And it's, it's just encouraging. It's very encouraging. And I recall, and again, I just listened to it again earlier tonight when I got into the radio station. I came in early. And we were talking in that first interview we did a few years back, and you said something that we have repeated almost incessantly on this program, that you believe that most people fundamentally agree with us on these issues when it comes to political correctness. Is that something that you still maintain?
Oh, yeah. And in fact, I'd go farther than that. Someone like Tim Wise, if you have, let's say, aliens from outer space that don't understand language, they kind of understand what was said, and they looked at Tim Wise and how he lived and David Duke and how he lives, they would not see any difference, right? Because Tim Wise...
That's very well put. Very well put.
But he lives in a 97% white neighborhood. And that's what always happens. These people that claim their love of diversity, they're the first ones to get away from diversity if they can. So it's how they live. Everyone, and this is nationalism, and nationalism doesn't mean you hate others. It's just that you tend to be around people like you. And I saw this article in baseball a few years ago where Hispanic players tend to hang around Hispanic players, blacks with blacks and whites with whites. And the guy goes, it's not like we don't like other players or anything like that. It's just we're around people that we're more comfortable with. And that's just natural. That's how things naturally happen. And it just solves so many issues, right? Because then you don't have to worry about who's right or who's wrong. Everyone has a right of self-determination. It's not for me to tell Japan that somehow their culture is wrong and I need to impose my white values on. No, they should have their country and have their values. And it's not me. We should have the same. That's all it is that everyone has the same rights. It's just like with Jews in Israel. I mean, that's the official United States position, which is quite amazing if you think about it. Both Democrats and Republicans, and I linked it on my website, they all voted that they support Israel as a Jewish ethnic state. That's nationalism. They all supported ethnic nationalism, which is amazing, left and right. But and I'm not against it. I'm just saying everyone should have that right. And that's my position is very consistent, whereas you get people like the SPLC or ADL, very hypocritical. They support nationalism for some groups of people, but not others.
You said something so succinctly in that first interview we did. I keep referencing it because I want people to go back to our broadcast archives and listen to it. It was just very, very good. But you said, there's never a cry from the media in this country or anywhere else about how there's not enough diversity in Nigeria. And this was, you know, a point you made that, you know, Nigeria is, you know, pretty much all black. It's media, well, whatever infrastructure it has, it's government. But, there, you know, there's not saying, well, there's not enough diversity there. We need to get more, excuse me, more white people into Nigerian politics. You don't just hear about it. It's always a one-way thing.
Right. Yeah, diversity just really is anti-white. And that's not just a cliche, but it's true. And I don't expect people to believe me. Just look at your own eyes. Like, have you ever heard someone say, whoa, we got a huge problem with the National Basketball Association. The numbers are really skewed. You know, the African-Americans are like 12% of the population. But what, the league's about 85, 90% black? There's something wrong here. We need to change these demographics because we need the people. People can't relate to people that don't look like each other. That's what they always use in reverse, right? That we need more blacks in NASCAR because they can't relate to people that don't look like them. And they say that with a straight face. That makes sense to them. But the other way around, oh, it's racist. So it's a huge double standard that it's really easy to make fun of.
So basically, you know, you're covering a lot of the issues that we talk about. I think that's obvious. But you're doing it in a way that is just, you know, it is a gift to be able to be humorous. I mean, you know, not everybody can be, you know, you're not a comedian per se, but I mean, you could go on tour. I would pay for it. And to make people laugh about these things is just, you know, a great and tremendous talent. And you still are getting across a message just with a different method of delivery. And another thing I wanted to ask you about, and this was something that you've addressed in the past as well, your observations. You've been doing this for a while now. Your observations of whites in this country in general versus the way that the media portrays them, you know, as if there is some sort of, you know, violent white supremacist under every rock. You know, we were talking about culture. I mean, God forbid. I mean, it's just common sense. People will naturally self-segregate. I was on a CNN hour-long show about self-segregation a few years ago. Obviously, people are going to feel more comfortable being around people with whom they share a culture, a language, religion, etc. Imagine that. Well, we're coming up on the break. I will repose that question to you when we are on the flip side, and then we're going to open up the floor for questions from the audience. So stay tuned. More Ramsey Paul coming up in just a moment.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you were somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetents? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us. TheAmericanFreedomParty.us. Once again, TheAmericanFreedomParty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage?
Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Oh, yeah.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
We're going to be taking questions from the audience for Ramsey Paul in about 2 minutes. So if you want to submit one that may be read on the air, get into the chat room. You can click over and renavigate to it at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. I think the question I was trying to ask before is, in your opinion, how accurate is the media's assertion that every white person in this country who holds, you know, a very natural and traditionalist viewpoint on the issues and would like to keep America as a first world country that was created in their image, as everyone should be entitled to have a place of their own, these people, they would say, are all just one step away from going on a murderous rampage and just can't wait to lynch someone. I mean, how ridiculous is that, in fact?
Yeah, I think if anything is the opposite. You always hear about white flight, right? White flight, but flight is not an aggressive thing. It's just trying to get away. And I think in general, that's of what most European people of European descent want to do, is they don't want to harm anyone. They just want to live among their own. So, yeah, it is just crazy. And although they want to push that narrative, that's why whenever they find something like that, one of the rare cases where that should happen, it makes literally international news, right? For example, in Oklahoma, right, that kid was in the fraternity. They're singing that chant, saying the bad, evil word we can't say. That made international news. And meanwhile, the same day, there was the usual suspects killing white people. Yeah, it just ignored. And that's just an example of how the media is able to give that narrative. But they're losing control because people now are looking more and more on the internet, and it's become somewhat of a joke as they try to hide, you know, the race. If it's a white guy, you bet they're going to say it's a white guy and they're going to make a racial spin to it. If it's not, they're like, oh, well, we don't know what race has to do with anything. Why do you have to bring up race or youths and teens, which are code words now? It's kind of a running joke. You know what they mean when they say that. So it's starting to fail on them because people are able to access that information.
Well, you're right. And, you know, obviously the pandemic of black on white violence pales in comparison to college kids saying a bad word. And we covered that pretty extensively, but it just goes to show how perverted the media is, that would make international news when matters of life and death are completely brushed under the rug because it doesn't fit their narrative. Anyway. All right. Questions. Here they come. American Renaissance, you're a mainstay there now. What is this going to be? Your third appearance there to,
I know.
To speak.
Invited me back.
Well, what are you going to be talking about? The people want to know. And that's coming up, by the way, just next month, ladies and gentlemen, a couple of weeks.
Still there, James?
Yeah, I'm here. I was saying, I was just letting the folks know that's coming up in a couple of weeks, so they want to know your topic, or if you have one.
Oh,
yet.
Okay. Yeah, I want to know it, too. Jared Taylor asked me what I'm going to speak on. I'm like, I don't know. And so I just said the red pill, which is just kind of a way of looking at things. It came as a metaphor, came from the movie The Matrix. So I said the red pill, and I have really no idea what I'm going to say because typically I just make it up as I go along. I probably in the next couple of weeks would try to write something together. So, but yeah, so it's called the red pill, but I have no idea what I'm going to talk about really. So. But that's
well, I guess if people want to find out, they've got 2 weeks to register. 2 weeks to register, oh. I believe that's the second week in April.
James, are you going? Or you should go. I'd like to meet you there in person.
I know. You're one of the few that I haven't had a chance to meet yet. What a travesty. We've got to rectify that.
Yeah. And American Renaissance, for people that haven't been there, it's just so fun. The first time I was there, I didn't know what to expect. And it's just normal people talking about normal subjects. And the parties are the real fun afterwards. Everyone gets together and drinks, has a good time. So it's not, I think the SPLC, they want to, and what's so hilarious, and I started to poke fun of them last year, because the first year they had a spy in the audience taking notes of what was said, which is just so ridiculous because it's a public event. In fact, we videotape everything and put it on YouTube. So it'd be like the SPLC sending a spy to the Denver Broncos game. And why do you need to do that? It's public. So it's just real normal people there. You don't have any kooks, which I like. You're not going to have what I call the Hollywood Nazis there or anything like that. Jared really weeds those people out. So you just have normal people. And actually, I would say normal white people, but it's not just white people. There's Asians there, Puerto Rican Jews. So there's in fact, that one year there was a protest. I think we had probably more diversity in the audience than we did with the protesters. So
That was a fact. Yeah, that's just a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good time to be had.
I was a protester the first year. I did a video about that, too, because that's something I want to do with my life bucket is protest a major convention and speak at the same one. So I've done that. So I checked that one off.
A good item for the bucket list, indeed. When people watch your and just want to say this one more time, folks, you can meet Ramsey Paul, to cut to the chase, at American Renaissance, where he'll be speaking again. And that's coming up in a couple of weeks. You can get information about that at amren.com. And we had Jared on, I think, just a couple of weeks ago to promote that. So if you want to meet our guest tonight, you can do so. Not far from Nashville, Tennessee, second week of April. In your videos, you've always got books on the shelf behind you, or in most of your videos. And people want to know, do you have a couple of favorites?
I like Tolstoy. I know that sounds geeky, but I always read him. And so I'm also a big history buff. I like history. I read a lot about history. A lot of times on my bookshelf, I just put the books back there to kind of troll or make a point or whatever. So, that's something I've always, since I was a kid, loved to read. So that's influenced me quite a bit.
You must be white. I got another one. Got another one here, and this is an interesting question. I am not familiar with this story, so perhaps you are, perhaps you're not. But basically, the question is being asked: how do you feel America's toxic culture is influencing other homogenous but non-white countries, such as Japan? And apparently, there is a new biracial Miss Japan. Are you familiar with this at all?
Yeah, I am, and it's sad to see that the cultural Marxists are going to turn their sights on Japan, and they have, because Japan is a very homogenous country, like Korea and China is to quite an extent. For example, in China, they never have an issue about Chinese privilege or anything like that, or like, whoa, we got too many Chinese here in our sports teams. It just makes sense. They're Chinese, but that is the next target is Japan, and they're really trying to push that. It's because I knew some Japanese, and they have a real sense of pride in their heritage and who they are. And they like other people. They just don't want other people to bring their influence to Japan. They like Japan to remain Japanese, which I support. And
absolutely, absolutely.
Because I'm a nationalist, and our enemy always assumes that, well, if you're a nationalist, that means you must hate other people that aren't white. I'm like, are you kidding? No. In fact, I love other cultures, and I want to preserve them. I love Japan. I love their culture, but I'm not Japanese, and me moving there would not make me Japanese. Even if they made me a citizen, that wouldn't make me Japanese. I'm still a white guy, right? And that's this kind of common sense, but it doesn't mean you hate people because you want them to preserve their heritage. So I hope Japan is able to stand strong, but they're definitely in the target of the cultural Marxists.
Well, and we are more consistent in our message than the supposed practitioners of tolerance and diversity. I mean, certainly if everyone, intermixes to the point where we're just a mocha-colored mass of humanity. I mean, where's the diversity in that? And certainly I do want all races to thrive and prosper, but I believe that each should have a nation of its own where its traditions and cultures can reign supreme. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that whatsoever, because I want it across the board. Another question. Do you endorse or have any favorite candidates for office? Anybody in the political realm? That is a tough question. I don't know if there's one I like, but what about you?
No, I figured, you know, if the voting can make a difference, it wouldn't be legal. It's kind of a joke, but it's kind of true, too. It's the Republicans and the Democrats are, I mean, does it really matter? I really don't see the difference so much between them. I guess the only advantage I see of Obama now is that he's, I think because he's not running again, he's not being pushed into a war with Iran. And I know that the usual suspects are trying to get us to get into war with Iran, and Obama, he doesn't really care about that now. So that's one of the nice things I like about Obama. Whereas the Republican Party, you know, they're always perpetually want to get into a war with for Israel. So, but really, they're the same. I mean, they're bought by rich people, and that's just the way you have to play the game if you're going to be a politician, and you got to abide by their point of view. So it really doesn't matter in our system. Whether it's a Democratic or Republican, it's to me the same.
I agree, especially on a federal level, because no matter how well-intentioned they may be, and very few of them are, I think you have to be, by and large, a sociopath to run for an office like that. And even the ones who are idealists and get in there, they're just bought off or compromised in some other way with their vice of choice. We've talked about this recently at length as well. We're going to come back with more of Ramsey Paul right after this.
These messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211, or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
come back to get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Lots of questions for Ramsey Paul. We're going to get to as many of them as we can, and this our last segment with him. Another hour going by far too quickly in the political cesspool. And here's a good one for you. You get elected president. What's the first executive order you give?
Ban women from voting, I think, would be the first one.
Well,
I did a video about
Listen, let's just be honest here. If it were limited, and I just asked this as an open-ended question for everyone listening on the radio. Would the country be better or worse, in your opinion, if only white male property owners could vote? Now, that's a question that everybody can answer in their own hearts. But be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
Well, would it look better here, today, or would it would it be worse? You know,
I'm not much for a democracy, though. In fact, my last speech at American Renaissance was called The Dark Enlightenment. I think the whole democratic process was a mistake. So I'm not for anyone voting, even white males. So, definitely, I guess we'll start with women, then we'll work on it to eliminate the vote for men too. So.
All right. How does the cultural Marxist experiment end? Let's just say they get to run this through its last full measure. What's the end game?
They devour themselves. Yeah, they eat their own. In fact, it's already starting to happen. And it's interesting because I go frequently to Eastern Europe and former communist countries, and a lot of them seen the exact same thing happen in their history with Trotsky and then Stalin and all the factions. You know, eventually they eat each other, and you have this politically correct hierarchy. Say if white males were to disappear today, right? There would still be issues. They would be fighting amongst themselves. Who trumps who? Do blacks trump women? Do the transgenders trump real women? Oops, I said real women. That's a microaggression. So, it will just implode on themselves. They can't really maintain a society. They're a little bit more of the parasites. If left alone, it would all fall apart.
I absolutely agree. And, it's going to end badly for them, too. And who wants to live in Haiti? Who wants to live in the modern-day South Africa? I mean, who wants to? I mean, it's not good for them either. It's not good for anyone. It's not good for blacks. It's not good for, radical Marxists. It's not going to end well for anybody, ourselves included. And, of course, that's who I'm most concerned with because I love my family just a little bit more than other people. If it ends, it's going to end badly if things don't change. But things can change, and we're certainly seeing tremors of hope all throughout Europe. That nationalism and right thinking is making a comeback. To the extent, will it happen quickly enough before things implode? Well, that still remains to be seen. But I do have more reason for optimism today than I did, say, 10 years ago.
I agree.
All right, how about this one? This isn't even a question. I'm just going to say two names, and you can take it from there. The Kardashians and Bruce Jenner.
You know, I'm one of the few people that never saw that reality TV show. I don't even know who the Kardashians are, except on the side. I guess there's
you're very lucky.
Woman has sex videos or something. I don't know. I don't even. To me, she's not even attractive, so I don't understand it. And Bruce Jenner, boy, when I was in the '70s, he was like the all-American man, and he won all those Olympics. And it's just sad. I guess he's now embraced this transgender freakdom. In fact, I did a story once. There was this guy in Texas. He's a news reporter. He decided one day that I'm not really a man. He's like 40 years old. I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. So they changed everything for him. Big to do. And then, like 6 months later, he goes, I was mistaken. I really am a man. So he went back and forth. I don't know how many times you're allowed to change your gender. I don't know, but you're supposed to treat it very seriously, and this is a very serious issue. So. Yeah, that whole transgender thing, I think that's really where cultural Marxism has jumped the shark, in my opinion. Transgender women, or they're not really... I'm sorry, James, I can't get in my head how a woman can have a penis and testicles. But anyway, transgender women...
But listen, that is so true. It's so true. I mean, that is just so obvious.
I don't know.
Biology determines your gender. If you have male equipment, you're a man. I mean, give me a break, people. I mean, how is this even up for discussion? It's just, I mean, you're right. I mean, this is beyond, it's all been absurd, but this is far beyond absurd. You know, this
social justice frontier. It's gone beyond that. These people are serious. So I thought this would happen. Now there's people that said they're the wrong species, that they're really part wolf or
dog. And yes.
And it could never end. So, but it's fun to mock. So, yeah, that's the coming culture Marxism. So, yeah.
Well, coming soon to a university near you. That's absolutely right. it's preposterous, and you know, hopefully people know that as much as they know that these other lies are equally flawed. But all right, this is the question. Your personal life, is that ever been adversely affected because of your truth telling?
Not so much, really. I mean, 99% of all the encounters, it's just been wonderful, just meeting the people and stuff. And it's not, the negatives aren't really that. I actually get more of the, well, I'm hesitating, right? I actually had more of the hassle from what I call the Hollywood Nazis than the left. And I consider them the same thing, really. Most of Hollywood Nazi types are SPLP people.
Right.
But
yeah.
That's really where more of the issue comes from, because I don't, you know, people don't like me. I don't care. I'm not asking people to like me. And I'm a big free speech advocate. I never try to silence other people. That's what I hate about the left. Supposedly, I remember back in the 70s, they were supposed to be all, you know, free speech. But, yeah, you don't hear that anymore from them. Now they want to silence everyone. Or I'm fine. You know, if someone wants to disagree with me, I don't care. But, yeah, for the most part, though, the most issues I've had is really on, I guess you'd call the far right. But some of the far right, I don't think it's really far right. I call them the Hollywood Nazi types. You know what I mean?
No, I agree with what you're saying, and I have similar experiences. And I also agree that, you know, a lot of what the left is a paper tiger. Now, certainly there have been people who have lost jobs in corporate America for having, you know, the wrong ideas, according to the purveyors of modern culture, you know, the right ideas as far as we're concerned. That does happen. It's not unprecedented, but it doesn't happen often. I've been doing this for 10 years. Jared Taylor has been doing it since the early 90s. And I was talking to Jared about that one time, and he said, you know, never has he ever had a knock on the door. Never has he had someone, you know, accost him in his neighborhood. It's just, you know, you get nasty things said about you on the internet, but that's really about all. And so at the end of the day, and listen, you know, you got to be able to take that. You got to be able to take lies being told about you. And if you can't handle that, then how are we ever going to mount any sort of a counteroffensive to reclaim America's destiny? But overall, I mean, this has just been a great blessing in my life to be doing this work. I've met a lot of interesting people and a lot of very good people. And I, you know, whatever negatives there have been, they far outweighed about the positives. And I'm glad to see that you've had a similar experience.
And
we're running short. Go.
That's one of the advantages of Ameren, is you'll just find really super great people there. You won't get the weirdos or anything like that. And I'd really encourage people to come if they're worried. I mean, I was initially, but it's just kind of like a accountant's convention almost. It's just normal people. So it's really fun.
And listen, normalcy isn't a bad word. I mean, you know, it's not a sexy word, but there is something to be said for normal people in this rotten day and age where,
right.
Even though I do believe most people agree with us fundamentally, a lot of people are scared to death to be honest outside of the confines of their home. So, you know, to come to a public gathering of a lot of people where you can engage in vibrant discourse is it's really a great thing. And again, folks, you'll be able to meet Ramsey Paul in 2 weeks there in the American Renaissance 2015 conference, AR-15, there near Nashville. And all the information is at the Ameren website for that. I'm going to have to call Jared for a little kickback on all this plugging we've done tonight. But what's next for you?
You get to meet, besides me, forget about that, you get to meet Jared Taylor. He's one of the most remarkable men I've ever met. So that guy's brilliant. He's engaging. He's real friendly and personable, too. So
he's great.
Worth this meeting him.
He's great. He's going to be back on the show next week. He's still in Russia right now. He went over and talked at that spoke at that international Russian conservative forum.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I was in Hungary with him. I had dinner with him in Hungary.
That's right. You were over there. You were hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. I was the whole convention thing. Yeah.
A minute left, and people want to know what's next for your videos. Just more of the same, and that's, believe me, that's not a denigration at all. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I really, you know, I'm not a big planner. I just do it. I go where things take me, and I have fun with it. So I really don't have any special plans. Just keep making videos and meeting people and having a good time.
And people can contribute to your work. We are not above a little help, receiving a little help, and they can do that at your website. And be sure to give that out one more time for the audience.
Yeah, it's ramseypaul.com. And yeah, I never ask for contributions, but they're always welcome, and I appreciate it. And yeah, it's a good time. I enjoy meeting people, and I love meeting people in person too. It's a lot of fun.
Well, for anyone who's tuned in late this evening and didn't catch the entire hour-long conversation we've just had with Ramsey Paul, this program will go up in our broadcast archives within a couple of hours after the conclusion of the show this evening, and there it will stay indefinitely, long, long time. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with
All
us
right.
for an hour. Entirely our pleasure, and let's do it again soon, but for real this time.
That's awesome. All right. See you.
Have a great night. Ramsey Paul, everybody. There he goes. RamseyPaul.com. Sonny Landham coming up next here on the Political Cesspool.
Another hour of the Political Cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.